This episode of the Red and White Podcast is brought to you by Roback, roback.com, performance apparel company. They make polos, hoodies, Q-zips that are legit just the best fit and the best feel. I know you've seen the little dog logo on people's shoulders. That's Roback. They gave you a 20% off coupon if you use the code REDWHITE. So go support the sponsors of the podcast. Go get yourself some sick apparel. And thanks for listening. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves.
I was raised by the wolves. 8:34. Run through the night. All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. It's football week, it's game week. Pack takes on UConn tomorrow night. I'm your host, Evan, here with Will. Will is somewhere. I don't know where he is, but he's in a hotel room. He doesn't sound as crispy as usual, so we're going ahead and apologize for that right away. But how you doing, Will?
I'm great. I'm down here in South Carolina. I'm in SEC country, trying to see how the real people do it before football season starts for us.
Gamecocks. Yeah.
Well, I'm down here with like a bunch of Alabama fans, so you know I'm like, oh man, we could struggle with UConn, and they don't understand.
Do you think let's go? Do you think we're going to struggle with UConn? There's people out there starting to get worried.
No, I think I think it's going to be a different UConn team. It might be one of those classic. They stick around for a couple quarters, but I think the end of the game, it's going to be I think we cover the spread. I think it's going to be a pretty large blowout in the end.
14.5-point spread for those wondering. And it sounds like most people agree with that, but the general vibe has been, how would you say, cautious? And I kind of don't understand that, but I guess it's the state fan and everybody. Like, is that what's driving this? Because in no world should this UConn game be close, correct?
Yeah, it feels like it's the ECU effect.
Right.
There's been chatter coming out of the scrimmages that the offense hasn't been super sharp, but I also think the defense is going to be pretty good, and that's not surprising. So, I don't know, man. Until you get the data point that says you actually suck with your eyeballs, I'm going to assume we're going to be good.
As simple as that. What if I have any hesitation, it's the offensive line, right? And we've heard reports that certain guys are hurt and not. I think Jaramillo is out for the year. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Lyndon Cooper is hurt but practicing and maybe come back for the next game. But that hurts your offensive line depth. And when the two deep came out and there's a walk-on in the second spot on your right tackle and your quarterback's left-handed, it raises an eyebrow for me, right? That's my concern.
It's not Muggerville.
Yeah, it's not. It's not your four-star that walk-on, right? It's not that guy. It's another guy who they just gave a scholarship to for the first time.
Yeah, hopefully he's like a shocker.
Yeah. I mean, they showed his growth charts and all that, but you don't know. But the fact that there is a walk-on in that position does kind of make me raise an eyebrow. The only consolation I can think of is that Brendan Armstrong's not a pocket passer, so his ability to move should help the offensive line. And I assume Robert and I is going to leverage that, and he's not just going to stick with his drop back game plan a la Tim Beck, right? I mean, I think we're probably on the same page here, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess one caveat is Brendan Armstrong had no offensive line last year, so this shouldn't be new to him. Scheme should help him out. I mean, it's just tough to tell. Like, if you got Tony Gibson saying this is like his best D-line he's ever had. So if you factor in a bunch of new pieces on the offensive line and not a ton of depth, and maybe holding certain guys out, especially to maybe get them to game one, it doesn't surprise me. I just need to see it and then react. You know, maybe we really are a 6.5 win team. Maybe the over-under is correct, but I just struggle to see how the offense that really was bogged down a lot last year were erratic with all the different quarterbacks and a defense that kept them in basically almost every game. Why should I expect anything different this year when I've got two starting quarterbacks?
Have the reports that have come out to temper your expectations about the offense, have they concerned you at all?
No, because I didn't expect the 2021 UVA offense. I mean, I expect an eye to do what an eye does, and he has had very different versions of his offense at stops. And you can even go back to the UVA years and look at the Bryce Perkins system versus the Brennan Armstrong, you know, chuck it every damn play system. Like, he will find a way to optimize it and optimize it around his players. And so I think we're in good hands. Do I wish we knew that we had bona fide wide receivers that were going to be just running go routes and living their best lives all season? Like, I hope that's the case, but I'm not asking for much. I'm asking for more competence than we saw last year. I'm hoping for less obvious personnel groupings that dictate very obvious play calling. And I'm looking forward to a person that's going to try to maximize what he can. I think it's just hard for me to believe that in reality, losing essentially your center and your left guard, all things considered, once you lost Devin Leary, why would we expect a huge difference in, like, a negative outcome, I guess, in offense? So there's a lot of young guys. Maybe there's going to be some ups and downs because you have young guys playing, but there's guys that have way more athletic upside getting a shot this year. So I don't know, man. It's, how do you feel?
I have been oddly confident all offseason up until about this week when I started hearing just skepticism, so to speak, right? And then maybe it's practicality. But I put this tweet out the other day and asked for everybody's, you know, best case, worst case, what's going to happen, right? And it sounds like most people are on board with 10-2, 9-3 as the best case. And I can see that, but when I go through the schedule and I look at it, I'm like, I can see it where, you know, there's a lot of games that are, I don't want to say 50-50, but like 60-40, 70-30 our way, mm-hmm. you know? And I've always felt oddly confident that the schedule sets up well for us. The only caveat, and I think our defense is going to be fine. The only caveat is the offensive line going to hold up, and what's the offense going to look like? I mean, that's my concern. Are they going to understand the playbook? Are they going to do what's needed to be done, you know, offensively?
Yeah. I mean, you can do what you can to help them out. I mean, the thing is, yeah, there's just a lot of freshmen or redshirt freshmen or whatever we call them these days in the two deep at offensive line. I mean, just this is what it is, man. I mean, this is what happens when you don't go out and get a bunch of, you know, more seasoned offensive linemen through the portal or through JUCO or whatever. You're going to be taking some risks here. You just have to hope they don't get snake bit. And if they do, they do. It is like what it is. I mean, I think there's this thought out there that if you go into a season and say, I feel like we could win 9 games, and that's what I would like for us to see. And then let's say your offensive line gets 2 or 3 injuries, and it's obviously going to be a detriment. If you as a fan can't sit there and go, well, it's unreasonable for me to expect 9 wins now and be dissatisfied, you know, with the output that happens after this, I mean, that's just on you. I mean, yep, we're thin at O-line. We seem pretty deep everywhere else. Let's just hope it works out. Like, that's all I can do for the first few games.
I guess. I mean, there's shades of the ECU game that are rearing its head. And I think that's kind of that's like the interesting point. I think everybody should take that as a learning lesson. It's not like we saw that ECU game and we went back and like we basically discarded it as, oh, that's ECU's or Super Bowl second half. Offense was just in put it away mode. And then it turns out the rest of the year, the offense was like, eh, what's this put it away mode all the time? And, you know, this is our what's holding us back. So if I see that this year, then I think I'll probably have a different thought after this game. But I fully expect us to come to this game and just out athlete them.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say the ECU game exemplified the problem last year, which was we were inefficient when it came to scoring in the red zone, which then made games look a lot tighter. Like if you look at the ECU game and you look at the Texas Tech game on just those two, right? Get a score in the red zone on that like 7 goal line stand. That game's over. Don't have a legal downfield man on the against Texas Tech. Don't have Sumo drop, you know, fumble the ball into the end zone. That game's blown out. So it was just a year where we made it so tough on ourselves that mistakes really derailed us. It just felt like it was a grind. That's what we always said. And if we go out there and we're like, damn, it's still a grind. Well, I don't know. I expect it to be less of a grind, or I expect it at least to have more high probability outcomes, I guess. I think we will be working to our players instead of maybe having an OC that doesn't excel necessarily with that. And so I just want to see it. If we go out there with UConn and we struggle and it looks and it just looks inefficient, then yeah, I'll worry. But at the same time, this defense is going to be pretty good. The teams we play on the schedule this year that would give me pause would be, you know, Clemson and Notre Dame, and then maybe Miami from a talent perspective. Everyone else, like, they all have their own problems too. So
right.
That's why I don't overreact today.
You'll probably overreact Friday, though, that's for sure.
I will. Oh, you will hear it the second the game's over.
I think this is one of those games where you need to score early. You need to get up on them. You need to just take any hope out of them. Same thing we said with ECU, and we did it. Well, we need to, you know, not take your foot off the gas, so to speak. And I know the argument people will say as well, you know, that's how Dave has been able to finish games. It's like, yeah, but that's also how you blow some games too, right? There's a few of those in there that, you know, we don't want to. Yeah, we just want to try to get away from that whole style. Yeah.
Do you think the new clock rules, though, are almost going to get Dave and company to be like, you know what? If we think we can start running some clock off, why don't we?
Oh, God. I did not think about that, but you're probably right.
Well, I guess here's what I was thinking, right? Like, the old offense was geared – I mean, what was it? It was 50% of the throws were on the hash lines, basically, on the out-of-bounds. Mm-hmm. And so it was probably stopping the clock a lot. If an eye uses the middle of the field more, you're going to see, just in general, more time coming off if we're not having those artificial stops from the boundary. And, you know, you've got a running quarterback. If it's not stopping for first downs, and say you're an efficient offense, but you're not getting that stops for first the clock stop on first downs, it would lead to the game kind of getting soaked away. So I could see maybe in this new era of clock rules, maybe a 14 or 17 point lead, which is typically when he came off the gas. Maybe it's not as dangerous because, you know, there's 10 less plays a game.
I think that benefits our defense, to be honest, more than it hurts or more than it will adjust the offensive philosophy.
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't know if you look, I'll be interested to see what the numbers are after this weekend. Cause if, you know, they put out the little, somebody put out a stat earlier today that basically said it was like four or less plays, except for the Notre Dame Navy game, which was two more plays than average. So I don't know, but I think it favors our defense, certainly.
Which is our strength, right? So if you're going to ride your strength, you know, I don't know. I guess I want to see it play out, but you know, we'll know real fast. I mean, by week two, you're going to have a pretty damn good idea of what the ceiling and floor is.
Right. Somebody in the chat said it the other day, and I flagged it because it was a good point. It's just if people have high expectations, and I would say 9-3, 10-2 are high expectations, then you need to be good enough to win this game easily. And yeah. I think that'll be telling how this plays out. I think this game, more so than other games in the past to start the year, will be telling. It's a game you got to win, right? And you should win easily. If you want to be a big boy program, this game should not be in question.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, UConn is going to be jacked out of its mind for this game, especially after getting boat raced. Right?
Yeah, they've sold the most tickets they've ever sold for this game.
So hard to believe.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, there's a lot of their excitement, right? Their Jim Moore Jr. excitement, because they made it to a bowl last year, even with a dumpy schedule, right? They've showed more progress than they have in a while, but I think they got raided from a transfer standpoint. Yeah. And I don't know. Like, you should be able to out-athlete this team. And I'm not concerned, and I don't know if I should be, if the people that are concerned are in the right. I feel like we should blow this team out.
Yeah. Am I remembering correctly? When we had TOB, didn't we go up to UConn and play one time?
I don't know if we played at UConn in a long
time. And it was a slog. I remember it was a weird road game, and it was a slog. I'll go back and look.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's I tell you what outside of the UConn game, and while you're looking that up, I watched the Notre Dame Navy game, and as did most of the botch at this past weekend, and that game was a blowout. But I think the takeaway from all of us was I feel pretty good about that game. Like, Navy's undersized, right? Notre Dame's not going to have played anybody athletic as NC State by the time that game comes around. I was not blown away with them. I thought their offensive line was good, but I think that's a product of Navy being undersized. I thought their running back was pretty good. Everybody was sucking Sam Hartman off after this game. The Yahoo pod in particular claimed he was the best quarterback that Notre Dame has had since Joe Montana. And I get the Notre Dame's quarterback history is not that great. You know, they've had a bunch of nobodies. They were in the option for a little while with Tony Rice. You know, Brady Quinn is probably the most notable. Jimmy Clausen. So I kind of get it, but I watched that game and I saw the same Sam Hartman. I saw him taking the easy throws. I saw the downfield throws being underthrown, making the wide receivers make plays. And they did, again, but it's Navy. So, you know, I started the season feeling optimistic, and then I watched the game and I was like, yeah, I feel pretty good. And then, like, the reality of week one is sitting in. I'm like, all right, how comfortable should I feel? And I think a lot of people are feeling the same, you know, how comfortable should I feel right now? And I've gotten this question a lot from people outside of the internet, right? It's friends and other people just said, how are we going to do? Are they going to cover 14.5? What's the, you know, how are you feeling about the season? And I'm like, you can put a mortgage on the over 6.5. Right? I feel like that should be easy. And somebody asked the other day on, I think it was on Twitter in the pod chat, is the 6.5 number, is it Vegas undervaluing us? And I think it is. We've seen this number before. I think it's them undervaluing Anai and Brennan Armstrong. But I think it's a lot of branding, and people see, you know, NC State, I'm like, they're okay. They're good. They're not great. You know, 6.5. I feel like we're a little better than that. And you're going to need guys to step up because, you know, you lost their senior leaders and you lost some guys at key positions. So you're going to need some guys to step up. But I feel like we're in a better position overall outside of the offensive line.
Yeah, I did go back and look. We were up there in 2012, and we won 10-7. And I remember it was one of those butt-puckering TOB games. So, TBD, history-wise. I just think Vegas put that number together. No Leary, no Thayer, no Carter. Yeah. Like, it's easy to look at all the lost production.
Yeah.
And very limited sample set of MJ Morris and then the lost production on defense and just go, yeah, you know what? The ACC is always good for a team that's right around 6 to 7 wins. So let's go under Dave's historical performance. But I feel like they juiced it to the over still, wasn't it? So it wasn't like they were, it wasn't like, yeah, the money was saying go under.
Yeah, it was, but yeah, still. 6.5.
I don't know. I think they're banking on Notre Dame, banking on Clemson, banking on Miami being Louisville. Better. And then I just don't get the Louisville hype train. I don't get it. Could be surprised, but I don't know. I get it. Do you get good Brennan Armstrong or do you get bad Brennan Armstrong or is it going to be up and down Armstrong? Maybe that's what they're banking on. Also, we lost to BC last year. I can't blame them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so it's there, right? And you know, I've asked some people who cover state what they think, and a lot of them are like, yeah, we're going to be good, but what's going to be the WTF game? And I'm looking at it, and somebody said Virginia. And I'm like, if you lose to Virginia, this Virginia team, like, somebody deserves to be burned at the stake. Like, that is terrible. That would be a terrible loss.
There's going to be a lot of hate in that game. You got Des Kitchens on one side. Yeah. You got Brennan, Anai.
Duke game I could see being the trap game, right? Just playing 5 games in a row. Then you have Duke. Yeah. And
they get the bye.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can see that.
I don't know. I think our defense is just going to be really good.
Keep talking. Right? I got to plug in.
Oh. This is that rare time when I get to vamp. Very exciting. I think the thing about Duke in particular, right, is when we went back and looked at their record last year, you know, that was the softest, 9-win team that when you go through and kind of just dig through it, it was everything kind of broke right for them. So I'll be curious to see. I think a lot of that team stayed together, but I don't think you're going to catch people sleeping on them. It's everyone's going to have the tape. Everyone's going to respect what they did, and everyone's going to want to make sure that they don't let Duke get them twice, like they did last year. So I'm not worried about trap game there. I think the game that's, you know, Miami has been a bugaboo for Dave all these years. So I think Miami is probably the one where I look at last year and I say I really still think there's a lot of rebuild left. And I could see us lose to Miami, and that could be the one that annoys me, where it's a struggling Miami team that comes in and somehow just lights us up. And you're back. Great.
I am. I can see that with the Miami team. It's any of those teams with talent, right? That's
– yeah.
I feel like I'm out on Miami until they prove it, which I think a lot of people are. But the Miami name is what people are going to look at and be like, yeah, it's the Miami name. You know, it's Miami. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, from a talent differential, right? No, I mean, I need to pull the schedule up, right? But, I mean, obviously Notre Dame is going to have a lot of talent on there. Clemson will. Miami will have it, you know, per the ratings. I mean, after that, is there really anyone that comes close to that from a stars perspective outside of North Carolina? And we've seen that there's been a lot of transfers out of there. TBD, I guess. Has Tez Walker been released yet?
Not yet. Not yet. Everybody's been fighting for him. Free Tez. Free Tez. Oh, my gosh.
You know, I loved how there was like a free Tez thing going on from ESPN. And then someone was like, well, what about us? What about the FSU guy? How come you're not doing this for us?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. Who do you expect on offense to break out? Who are you looking for?
Well, I mean, I've got to say Keon Lassane, because I think his parents are probably listening. And, no, actually, I do think Keon Lassane is like the obvious one.
Hold on. This podcast has been a Keon Lassane podcast for a long time until last year. Right. Every year I'm like, Keon Lassane's going to break out, man. I loved his high school tape. Early listeners will remember that. Like, that's the guy I've been pointing out, like, he's got speed. He's going to be good. And then last year I'm like, I'm out on Keon. Well, I don't think he's got it.
It just doesn't make sense that he's not in the slot. But that's, I mean, his hands are reliable. And that's what I think it's going to come down to is he is going to be the bailout guy. Maybe that's not like a huge breakout, but I mean, I think he's going to do better than the like 350 yards he had last year. I think he's going to be someone in the red zone. And especially with, I think if you get like Dakari Collins and Rosner and Lassane, and then you've got Houston, let's say out there from a skill position perspective, I feel like the two tall guys are going to draw a lot of attention. That's going to free up Lassane to do work. So I don't know. He just seems like kind of an obvious one he's a captain, and yet somehow people think he's not going to get much to eat. I mean, I could be wrong, right? You could see a lot more of the guys behind him, but that's an obvious one to me. And then, I don't know. Is this the year that Jordan Houston just like gets the one long run?
Oh, he's got to, right? He's going to break out. He's going to have a breakout run this year. Put that in the books. Yeah, this is it. He's not getting tripped up this year. He's going to be.
I'm okay if he gets tripped up all year. I just want that one home run hit. Like, he's got the speed. I don't know.
Early reports out of practice said they were throwing dozens of tunnel screens to Julian Gray. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'll take it all day. If we just pass all the time, I'll be happy. I don't care.
I can't wait to see something different. Like, I don't know what to expect because an eye will do some crazy stuff. But I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I think our advantage is short area quickness with Casey and Gray. And I just wonder if people, that's where I just look at the wide receiver core and I just say, you have Anthony Smith, but people are going to say he's unreliable, but I just don't see the typical breakout wide receivers from Anai. I don't know. It would make a lot of sense to me, especially if we have problems on the O-line, if it's going to be lots of screens to guys that can move in space. So Gray and Casey seem kind of obvious there.
Yeah. Yeah. Concepcion being the starter on the two deep that really they released. I thought that was wild. So a true freshman getting a starting role. I mean, he's been hyped up to no end in the offseason so far. But it's just not a Dave Dorn move to see a freshman in that kind of position.
Yeah. I just think he's very good. I just think it's simple. I'm not saying he's Josh Downs, right? But it's kind of one of those things where if there's someone who can get open, what do they always say about like slot guys? Like they can get open in a phone booth. Right. You know, those guys are always going to look good, especially in practice, I think. And that's just why I don't worry about this. There's enough chatter about athletic players getting the ball in their hands that makes me say like, yeah, maybe it'll be kind of boom bust, but in a different kind of way. Who knows? Maybe the run game will suffer. I don't know. I don't care yet. Like I got to see it and then freak out because, you know, there's going to be interceptions, right? Like it's just going to happen. Hey, if you can't handle it, guys, I have a great suggestion. Don't watch the game. Wait till it's finished. Watch it on 1.5 times speed. There you go.
You're psycho. Skip through it. Like, no, you can't do that. That's not normal. No, that is not normal. Don't do that, people. Don't. I don't recommend
I'm
that.
I'm just saying. If, I mean, live. Okay, here's the other flip side, man. I saw this. I don't know why he said it, but like, if we go 6-6, I'm not going to consider that a great season.
Who said that? I saw that.
Steve said it on IPS, and I know is very conservative in his predictions usually, but I would not be happy with a 6-win season.
Hell no.
That's just weird.
I saw that. Yeah, I remember us talking about that. Somebody had said that, and to me, that is to be happy with 6-6. I would be that mentality's got to go. Like
that would be
care.
Like I expected us to win 3 games and we got 6. Then I'd be happy. So
right.
I don't know. That's just kind of concerning, but I don't know. Steve's always said some funny things, like, you know, scoring 28 points a game is like a great formula, and I was like, man, that's, you know, not in this era. So I hope he's wrong.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where this conversation started this past week, that comment and a couple others around like similar to that. And, you know, somebody in the chat said, you know, I consider myself a realist when it comes to NC State, but I think that's too low. And I was like, yes, it is. It 100% is. I think it's, but again, Steve's also very clued in. And so that kind of makes me like, what does he know that we don't know other than the offensive line getting dinged up, right? So that's kind of.
Yeah, I think there's some people that are sitting at practice and they're confused by what they're seeing. And so they're trying to reduce expectations. I don't know. This team generally finds its way to 8 wins some way, somehow. I think they've got players that may eliminate a WTF game that we've seen in the past. So maybe, I mean, that's why I feel like the floor is raised. That's why I think kind of 7, you know, you can go with it. But it's just, man, it's really hard after 11 seasons. You've got all these data points. I feel like Dave can get you to 8 or 9 wins a lot of years. And it just, he does pretty well when he doesn't lose his quarterbacks. So if the quarterbacks stay healthy, I'm not going to freak out about the O-line. They've got bodies they can slide around in there. They're going to be young. They're going to get abused. But, you know, too bad. They're 300 pounds. See if they can buy some time.
I think that, yeah. And I think the quarterback, I feel okay about the quarterback position, right? We've seen MJ, and I know it's a new offense for him, but we know he's got talent. And everybody's response is always, but they lost the BC game. And I still think that was an anomaly.
That wasn't his fault.
Yeah, they decided to start running a quarterback who had one leg, right? I mean, I think that part's ridiculous. But I feel okay. Like, if Brendan Armstrong makes it to 5 games, then you have MJ Morris, who's I would say, more than serviceable backup. I'm not going to say he's equivalent to Brendan Armstrong until he proves it. But he is better than a lot of backups for a lot of schools, right? I think we're okay in that position. To me, it comes down to offensive line, and then, you know, does the offense gel? Everything is offensive. I think our defense should be good. You know, I replacing some linebackers, but you still got Peyton Wilson. You still have guys who've played a lot of football. You know, you got some nickels. You're replacing Tyler Becker Williams and Tanner Engel. I think it's a hard replacement in run coverage, but does, you know, Jakeen Harris and the other guys, do they step up and, you know, provide a little different dynamic that Tony Gibson was referencing? I think that's kind of what I'm expecting on the defensive side. I think they'll be disruptive again. And I think that's what Tony Gibson wants.
Yeah. And I would say, again, the defense gets to sit there all camp, and they learn the offense just as much as the offense does. And it gets really tough. So it's just hard for me to think that the offense is going to be just a complete cluster bomb. I'm trying to watch my language for my mom here. You know, I would be shocked if they look terrible. I think even a competent offense with this defense is going to win a lot of games. A suboptimal offense last year with a very, very good defense still had 8 wins, right?
Yeah.
So why should I expect any different this year when from the starting point. The only hesitancy is we're down our six-man offensive linemen, and you've got a lot of young guys that are now in backup spots.
Yeah. It's a sidebar. The defense last year, Derek Pitts made the Tampa Bay Bucks 53-man roster. Nice. Would have never have guessed that he makes an NFL team and sticks.
Yeah, man. It's all about just random opportunity, right? Like, I think Bayer got dropped. Drake got dropped.
Drake got dropped, but he got picked up by Seattle. And oh, nice. Vi Jones got dropped. So I think Drake got Vi Jones' spot.
Wow.
Which is something.
Law of the Wolf, man.
Yeah.
I saw Durden got dropped. Like, I mean, it's just tough. But that's the thing is, NC State has done a lot over the years with guys that are just like clawing onto spots in the NFL, right? A couple guys who are like bona fide starters and sticking around. Those guys from Pac-14 have had good careers. So I'm not saying they're easy to replace. I'm just saying it's not like you're losing first round picks all the time. So again, the new guys may allow the defense to do more. That's what Gibson has implied. So maybe the loss of them won't be as dramatic as you would expect.
Is the defense better or worse than last year?
I think they're going to be a top 25 defense. That's what I'd say. Because I think they were very, 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 very good last year. Like, again, they kept that team around in games way longer than they should have. They never seemed to pack it in. Yeah. I think we were like top 25.
I think they'll be more disruptive. I don't think they'll be as, I don't want to say like impenetrable, but like, I don't think they'll be as tough to move the ball on, but I think they're going to turn the ball over more.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting to see. I think they're going to be more dynamic. Well,
yeah, I bet they may have a similar amount of turnovers because they had a hell of a lot of interceptions last year. I'd be curious to see if they're as stout in the run as they were. I feel like they will be better in the pass.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, 14.5-point spread. What's the outcome tomorrow night, or when you watch it back on Saturday?
I'm gonna go with something like 31-14.
Yeah, I think it's a 20-plus point game. Pack covers. Pack runs them. I'm not terribly concerned about it, and I hope I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
I know you got to go, so couple other things real quick. AC expansion. Apparently the votes are still holding out. There was rumors that it was going to push through, and then the incident at Chapel Hill happened, so they held the vote, and then rumors are that the four that have held it out are still holding out, which is interesting. I reached out to the chancellor's office and, you know,
yeah.
Because why not, right? And I got a non-response. There's no update from our end. Contact the ACC for any questions. Shocker. But, you know, I had to at least try.
Yeah.
Unstate. Go ahead.
My only thing is, shouldn't the ACC take the position of Stanford, you can have a little bit of money. SMU, you're willing to take no money. And then look at Cal and say, if you're not willing to do what SMU's doing, why are you here?
Yeah. What do you bring to the table?
I don't understand paying. I could understand if you said, we're going to give Stanford more, we're going to give Cal less, and SMU is cool with taking nothing. All right. I just don't understand why Cal gets the same share as anybody. They're not bringing anything to the table.
Did you see the Ryder Cup picks?
Yeah, man, just pick the best players is my theory. Don't pick your buddies. Like, I don't get the picking.
I think that we're boned. I think Europe's going to walk the dog on us.
Yeah.
They picked some guys that have not been playing great towards the end of the year, and you left off some guys that are really deserved it. Keegan Bradley, I feel he should have had it. I think it's super disappointing to me.
Yeah. I think that's, yeah. You know, you're hoping for the past.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, that's all I got. I know you got to go. Will's got to run. Yep. We'll keep it short this week. Game is tomorrow night. We will do a post-game something afterwards, I'm sure. But as always, thanks for listening. Go Pack.
Go Pack.
G'day, curd nerds. Another cheese-making taste test. This one...